make it. As soon as you get there, all of a sudden,
you feel good.
Talking direct to you. It's a blessing you get right to you. Thank God.
Yeah, I've mentioned my grandfather in here. My grandfather was born in 1878. But he always had this statement. He says, on Saturday night, if you party too much, you got to sleep fast because it's a short night so you can make it to church. You know, those kind of things that sort of stick with you, don't they? Well, you know, let's look at Psalm 96 for a second. But as Pastor Don's talked about, Doug's talked about, and I have too, we've had this scenario in our lives a lot. You know, do I go to church today or not? Look at the words of Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, when we hear fear and obey, remember in the catechism we talked about that. What is fear? Are you supposed to be afraid of God? No, you're supposed to respect God. Okay? For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Isn't that beautiful? And that's Old Testament. It's a psalm. You know, as Christians, it is our job to attend church, not to sit at home and watch worship on television, or at a mega church where we're just a number and not a part of a community group. But isn't this what Christianity has become in our modern world? Now, this isn't to degrade large services. Look what Billy Graham did. And now his son, Franklin Graham, has taken over the mantle of that ministry. Look how many people came to Christ through those. Now, those are, I mean, in a football stadium, 100,000 people there. But we're not talking about that on an every Sunday basis. My pastor, when I was a kid, was Pastor John Acker. Pastor Acker was a pastor at First Lutheran Church in Omaha. And they called it First Lutheran because it was the first Lutheran church in Omaha, okay? And he started there, I think, in 1930. Every time they hit 200 people, he'd split off and start another church. Did that 10 times. All right, now if he hadn't done that, now stop and think, 10 times, that's 1,000 people. He could have had 1,000 members in that congregation. Why didn't he? When I was in seminary, we sang at a church not too far from here. 3,000 members, one pastor. They had 70 elders who were in charge of the congregation. So your relationship was with an elder, not with the pastor. So the pastor can't say, hi Jane, hi Frank, welcome back, because he doesn't know the people. Okay, how can you be a shepherd of the flock if you don't know who the flock is? And you see, I think that's what we lose in a mega church, is we lose that personal connection we have with the people. Yeah, if we had 200 members, it'd be a little tough, wouldn't it? It can be done. But that's when pastors start burning out because, you know, I work 40 to 60 hours a week. They work 80 hours a week plus. Well, you can't maintain that for a long time. That's when it's time to get another pastor and split the job. But one of the megachurch ministers says Christianity is a prosperity ministry. I think you know who I'm talking about. Joel Osteen in Texas. Is that the message that Paul stresses about koinonia in the New Testament? Now, that's not to degrade Joel Osteen because he's very successful. His people love him. But I saw on YouTube, he had mentioned Jesus in one of his sermons. Came back the next week and apologized for it. And that's on YouTube. You can listen to it. Why would a pastor apologize for saying the word Jesus? Is that Christianity as we know it? But now look at all the people in that church, and I mean, he pulls in thousands. Their Christianity has veered off, hasn't it? It's not the koinonia that Paul, Mark, and the apostles taught. Look at our flock here at Our Savior's. How often do we go and visit each other in the hospital? You know, we talk to each other. I talked to Gerd this week. I talked to Bev Wilgus. You know, I'm going to go see Gerd this week, too. You know, if something happens to you, like Dave Best, you know, who came and was worshiping with us. Dave's in a nursing home now. I go see him. You know, it's those kind of things that in a mega church you can't do. But the thing is, when we use the terms brothers and sisters in this church, it means something. The koinonia, the fellowship, is here. And I think that's one of the nice things about a smaller church is we can do that. You know, when COVID started, it really cut down the amount of visitations because I was visiting 12, 17 times a month. You know, a small church is a lot. Okay? Am I doing that now? No. Do I spend a lot of time on the telephone? Yes. Okay? Because that's the only way I can talk to people. And since I've had my surgery 3 months ago, I was told I shouldn't do that because my immune system is down. But yet, when we have this kind of Christianity, I think it's important. You know, one of the things that Paul uses is the fellowship of all believers. Now, sometimes we take that to be as Christians, but yet the word he uses there is koinonia of all believers. So when we look at that fellowship, what is it? Could we use the word family for fellowship in this case? Yeah, I think that's probably a closer meaning of it. So what does Psalm say again? Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. All right, pastor, tell of his salvation from day to day. Is that in there? No. All y'all tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. So in other words, open your mouth, talk about Jesus. You know, and it doesn't, you know, I don't know how many times people have said to me, well, what do I say? It's not really up to you, is it? Who's it up to? Holy Spirit. Okay, let the Holy Spirit into your heart. He'll tell you what to say. In fact, something might come out of your mouth that you're really surprised at, but that's the Holy Spirit saying, no, we're going to do this today. But that's your relationship. That's why we're here. You know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and baptize all peoples. Okay? And on peoples, the word in the Greek is ethnos. Ethnos is the word that's in there. All nations, all peoples. Okay? It doesn't say, well, but I like him or he looks like me so I can talk to him. No, that's not what's in there. Do you think that that kind of Christianity happens in a megachurch? Well, of course the pastor or the preacher is doing that. Are the people doing that? I had somebody tell me one time, well, we go to this church. In fact, Church of Joy, which is a Lutheran church in Phoenix, okay, was ELCA, huge church. 12,000 people visited it on a Sunday. In fact, it's the only church I've ever been in. They had one door for going in, one door for going out. 1 hour service, 1,000 people. Had 12 services during the day. Started at 8 o'clock in the morning, finished at 8 o'clock that night. And so every hour, they would move everybody out this way, and as they're moving out, the new people are coming in, they do a service. So it's a 45-minute service, and 15 minutes, move them in, move them out. And I was just, it's exactly what it was. Move them in, move them out. You know, 10 pastors. The head pastor was a great speaker. Did he know his people? No. You know, and that's the thing I think we lose in a megalith church. But as I talk to these people, why do you go to that church? Well, I love the message. I said, do you know anybody? No, and I don't have to do anything either. I can just go to church.
You missed the boat.
That's exactly right.
Okay? They're just fed going to that large church.
That's exactly right. Well, and the thing is, usually the speaker there is a fantastic speaker. I mean, he can preach. But is that all that Christianity is? Is going to sit and see it and listen to the sermon? Now, hopefully sermons are good. I mean, I work hard on mine. But that's not what it is, okay? What it is the koinonia between the people. Of course, we've had our people, too, that want to get out of church right on time so that we can beat the other ones to the restaurant. I mean, I was sent in this church. Come on, let's speed it up. We got to be, okay. You don't want to talk about it, that's all right. But as we experience our religion in this building, is our religion in here or is it out there? Out there. In fact, a lot of Lutheran churches now have got a sign at the end of their driveway. You are now entering the mission field. Go ye therefore. Okay. I mean, the message is Jesus loves you. Pastor James Coley, you've heard me talk about him a lot. I have a friend from the seminary who's the pastor, and now he's the head of the Lutheran Church of Liberia. He just got elected on that. Cotton Tree, Liberia, he's got, I can't think of the name of his church, but it's in Cotton Tree. James and I, in fact, he just sent me pictures, catechism group of 22 people. He does this every month. All right, now stop and think about that. 22 people every month. That's, what, 2,400 people, 2,500 people a year joining this church. And he is making new congregations. I said, how are you doing this? And he says, I'm not. He said, these people come either out of a Muslim background or an ancestor worship background or a nature worship background. And he says, somebody who's a new believer comes up to him and says, Jesus loves you and he loves me. Isn't that great? And he says, they come and talk to me and says, I want to know about this Jesus. Where is the theology in that? Do you have to talk theology? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. First thing we probably learned as kids, isn't it? Yeah, I did too. But there's the message, okay? One of the things that I do with people, and I said, you know, Jesus has done great things in my life. You know, I bet you could tell me about some things in your life, Frank, that he's helped you with. Here's my witness. What theology do I do in that? None. I'm talking about the love of Christ. Has the love of Christ been in your life?
If it wasn't, I wouldn't.
Amen. But you see what I'm getting at? Have we put up barriers to make it hard? Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. So in other words, open your mouth, talk about Jesus. Because if he's important to you, it's there. So my brothers and sisters, sing your new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. And sing Alleluia. My friends, may this new song keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Alleluia and Amen.